us, Heavenly Father, this morning as we gather, may our eyes truly, O Lord, turn to look at the face of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And all the things, O Lord, of this world will surely grow dim. And the things that, O Lord, that brought darkness, O Lord, to our hearts for all these last, perhaps, week or months back, that still bother us, Father, Lord. Let our eyes turn to look upon the shining face, the pillar of fire of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all this darkness, O Lord, will flee away. For Father, Lord, Thou art life, Thou art light, and in You, Father, there is no darkness. So help us to understand this, Lord, in the way that we live in. In this hour right now, Father, and in these present years, 2015, the whole world is in darkness. One way or another, Lord, people are just dwelling in darkness, moving around every day, Father, toing and flowing, O God, from place to place. All this mundane affair from day to day, Lord, and where is it getting done? Oh, we thank You, Father, we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord in everyday mundane life, help us to remember this is just transient, Lord. And this earth that we live in, we're just passing through, and soon, Lord, all of this will be over. And just let our eyes cast upon Jesus Christ. Look Him in the face of His holy word, and behold our own self, Father, what man of man we are. So Father, Lord, ask that we come right now, Lord, and sitting at Your feet, we ask that You give us an inside look at ourselves, Father, as to our spirituality. We ask for this in Christ's wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians last Sunday. I just want to just touch on it once again on some of these verses and bring up some of the things that was left untouched. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 20. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Now, we can all always read the Bible, we can always, somebody read you a verse, or you hear a verse, we say, well, yeah, I have heard that, I know that. But don't take it as it is something that we know. Take it into your heart and sweat to know what it means. You know. Walk in love, yes, Christ also have loved us and have given Himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremongers nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of this thing cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedient. Now, I hope that you know what vain words really is. Vain words that leads to nothing. Worthless. It really leads many times to vain glory. A lot of people talk nonsense a lot of times when they think that they know what they are speaking of, or what they know about the teaching of the Lord, what is the end time message, they start to yakety yak, and they think they know a lot, but actually they know nothing. Be not therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So remember these. These are some of the words we know. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, some of the things we all need to examine this out. Some of the things we do, we need to realize they are not acceptable to the Lord. Right? So, those things that are not acceptable to the Lord, throw it away. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Sometimes you may find it hard to do, to reprove people. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever to make manifest is light. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise. Remember verse 14, it says, arise thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. Now if you are really dead, as in dead, you can hear. But because you are spiritual religiously, when you are dead, not knowing the truth, it's high time you wake up. That's the reason why the Bible said about the voice of God that is speaking in the last day. And those that hear, they will wake up from their slumbering. You know. And you know that the voice of God is going out in every churches. When the message goes out, when the word of God is preached, many people go to church and they are still dead in sin, dead in their religiousness, and they cannot hear. You know. And Jesus Christ said that there is a voice that goes out that you need to hear and wake up. Those that are dead. There's a resurrected to life, spiritually. And I hope that you have heard the message, you have heard the truth. I pray that you really are resurrected and is alive in Christ Jesus. I was once in the Pentecostal church and I thought that I was really alive in truth. But I was not alive in truth. I was dead in darkness of the tradition of the church. See now that you walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore ye, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. Be not drunken with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What does this verse say right here? Be not drunk with wine, wherefore there is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. Not to yourself as to yourself. To yourself is among yourselves. That's what it means here. Singing. Alright, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in the heart to the Lord. You understand that? Be filled with the Spirit, speaking among yourselves. Speak within yourself here, as a group, as a Christian group, as believer. Among ourselves, when we fill with the Spirit. You know, when we sing song, we're not just singing to ourselves, we are singing to the Lord, and as we sing, people are blessed. Why do people give out special in church? It's to worship the Lord, give God the glory, and then at the same time singing to the people will be blessed by what they heard. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. In the book of 1 John 1:5, and we all should be very familiar, or should be, or we have said, if you are not, we ought to be familiar with this. The 1 John 1:5, the last part tells us very clearly that God is light, in Him is no darkness at all. God is light, in Him is no darkness. God is truth, in Him is no tradition. God is truth, in Him is no error. God is always light. Whatever He moves, He always brings with Himself light. And light represents the truth. Light represents life. Light brings warmth.
And this was sometime when Brother
Henry was talking to me last Friday on the way home, not quite understanding, you know, how that the creation, the first day, the Bible says, and God moved upon the, you know, upon the face of the water of the deep, and he said, let there be light. And we know that it is not a sunlight. And we're just wondering what kind of light is this now. We think that light is just light, in what sense is light. And science cannot understand what light that is. Because the sun was brought back on the fourth day. But yet the first day said, let there be light. And light came. You know, one thing is that we realize that whenever God moved to do something, he brings his own light with him. Because he is light. And when we talk about light, it brings warmth. When you are in the dark, any place you go, when every time the sun set, in any place, you feel the coolness. Especially when you are in a cave. And sitting out there when the sun set, you find, automatically you find it cold. When I was in Kenya up there in the mountain, the sun was up there, everybody was feeling fine. The moment the sun set, now you can feel suddenly the cold started coming. And you started feeling cold. So when God moved him, he is light. He is light. When there is light, there must be light. Nothing lives without light. And light must be warm in one way or another. We cannot comprehend what light that is because God himself is just light. And when God is light, light always lights up a place, a thing. And we can see. But tradition is in darkness. It is all jumbled up and all messed up. And you don't understand the truth of or anything about what they teach. It's just tradition. And it holds people in darkness. And remember one thing. Darkness speaks of death. Because when you die, you are in a grave, in a dark hole. Right? Lazarus was in the grave, in a sepulchre, closed up, in darkness, damn inside, darkness inside. But when the light came and says, Lazarus, come forth. Right? And he came out of the sepulchre into the light. And there's warmth. And there's light come back. So remember this, that God is light. Now let's go to the next person I want to discuss. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1 to 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meat, fish, pork, whatever. Which God have created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if we receive it with thanksgiving. Now here this is talking about the last day. And you know that is so true. People are giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy. Look at what is going on out there in charismaticism. Even what is going on there in the end time message. Now may I ask you something you already heard. How many Adams are there the Bible talks about? And you need to understand when the Bible says Adam. What is the name Adam signify? Signify the man. Yeah, but what is Adam? The first Adam was called Adam. And he was called the first man. The first man, first Adam. What was Jesus Christ? Who was he? He was the second man. But he was the last Adam. Not second man, second Adam. He was the second man, but the last Adam. You understand? Man represents something that is created. Adam represents something that is new. Let us make man in our own image. And Adam was the first. He was new creation. Jesus Christ was known as the second man. Is that alright? But he was come in the flesh to redeem. So he was called the last Adam because he gave new life. He was a new creation. There was no such thing as him being the second man. But there have been a teaching going on, end time message, that there is a third Adam.
When I hear title like that, the third Adam, why don't the Bible talk about a second Adam? That you can produce a third Adam. And right now somewhere in America there is a church and people are afraid even with that church. Have you heard about the third testament? How many testaments do you have in the Bible? There's the Old Testament. And then there is the New Testament. There are only two Testaments. The second Testament is the New Testament. If there is a third Testament, then the second Testament, which is the New Testament, cannot be new. Does it make sense? But you see, we have that religious spirit. I'm still on the subject of spirituality. And I want you to acknowledge us understanding what religiousness is. About doctrine and teaching, but it's more than just that. Because if you are caught up in a kind of spirit like this, you know what? Our life will be twisted around by the hands and the fingers and whatever you want to call it, of the preacher who is under a false anointing. You know. Isn't that sad? Having your conscience seared with a hot iron. Yeah, of course. It's so burning that they cannot see the truth anymore. And the God was sending them a strong delusion that they will believe a lie. Do you know how much there is today out there, especially on the internet? Internet full of a lot of things, and people believe those things, that they don't even check it out whether those things are really true. Someone from India sent me a picture on WhatsApp, an image. The remains of Goliath was found, and they have a picture, an image of a big head, a skull, with a stone right there on the forehead. And there are articles written about, they found the archaeology, have excavated that, and found Goliath. And about 2 weeks later, another brother from Africa sent me the same thing. Wow. You just imagine that. Even my brother-in-law, you know, he has sent me all kinds of things that somebody sent it to him, or I guess. And a lot of times the things were false, and I have to tell him that it is not true. It's very hard for them to believe that it is not true. Because why? There are a lot of people that want to make a fool of you. That's why, are you wise enough to look at what is true in this world today? Everything people read on the internet, many of them, a lot of things are not really what it seems to be. You know. So are you aware, are you able to decipher what is true, what is not? Are you able to see through all these words and codes and, you know, what people believe to be true? Are you able to look through it whether they are or they are not? And that's why I say one thing is because why, and I think I agree, and if you have seen that video that I sent it to you, John Lennon's God and creation, can they mix? And he said it's so true. People don't hardly read at all. It's all about going to the Twitter, and said Twitter is for birds, and I agree that. Only the bird tweets. And you go on a Facebook, and what do you write on the Facebook? People ask me, Brigham, come and join me on Facebook. I just ignore those things. Why do I want to go on Facebook and tell you all about my life? Huh? And then after that, if people start to say this, start to say that, everybody give their 2 cents worth about this doctrine, that doctrine, and there is a lot of debate and argument going on. Huh? And you know what? When people talk about it on Twitter, and sooner or later they talk about the political problem, the issues out there in the Middle East, and issues out there maybe the local government, And they start to argue and they talk about all these things. Are they really worth your time? I know you won't want to go to the forum. There were times somebody said, well, come and look at my forum. Just look and see what they have, you know. And I can see, oh, there's a whole lot of argument. That's about on my website. I say, this is not a forum. This is not a forum site. You want to come in and argue with me. I said, there are many out there, you can go and argue with them. Your point of view, your opinion. See? And what is your opinion? What is an opinion? It's your idea. It's what you believe. That's why you say, this is what I believe. This is what I believe. Your opinion. And that's the reason why over there in the Philippines years ago, every time I go to the Philippines, almost every year. And every time I was there in Manila, the brother says, come, brother, God, let's join with us in the minister's meeting. I was there early there, one time, two times, three times, and I said, brother, that's enough. I said, why do you want to continue doing that? Oh, maybe we could make them to see the truth. You cannot, I told the brother, you cannot change the sport of the leopard. He doesn't believe in it. He tried and tried. Finally, he given up. Because when I was there, they talk about all this kind of argument, and they come out and say, that's my opinion, brother again. And I stood up and gave them a rebuke. You think God is interested in your opinion? And they keep quiet. God is not interested in your opinion. God is interested in how you look at His Word, and how you keep His Word, and how you live His Word. Not your opinion. Huh? When the road is caught up yonder, are you going to be there? Well, out there in the denomination, out there so many people, the Christians say, we are going into the rapture. Christ is coming, so we are going to the rapture. And there are people that say, you know, well, they teach, there is no such thing as a partial resurrection. No partial rapture. You remember, no partial rapture? Like my friend used to tell me, the pastor friend of mine. He said, brother God, he said, Richard, you believe that there is only a small group and it's your group that follow Brother Branham? I said, no, sir. I said, it's not a group that follow Brother Branham. Because a lot of those that follow Brother Branham is going to be left behind too. And he was surprised. You see, because that mentality, that religiousness, considering that we are a cult. And I said, we are. But we are Bible cult. You are the Presbyterian cult. Show me in the Bible where there is such thing as a Presbyterian group in the Bible. And I will show you that there is a Bible group in the Bible. You see, that mind, that religious mind, is something I steer myself away from the moment I came to recognize the message that God sent. That's how all those theological books, out the door it goes. This Bible has to become a new book in the light of God's Spirit, not in the light of what I have been taught and all that. And that's what we should do. We're supposed to be a new creation. Isn't it true? Once you get away from tradition, once you come out from a traditional church and come back into this Bible, is it not true that this Bible has become a new book to you? Because you are not coming to the Bible with the tradition. And look at the Bible under a lens of a tradition, a magnifying glass of a tradition. Or traditional magnifying glass. That's not what you're doing anymore. You see. So I said, no! There is a partial resurrection. But he said, you're trying to tell me that Christ took the head and left the body behind. He said, how he talks about that? I said, do you know the Bible talks about the resurrection, each in his own order, that which we have discussed on Friday? Each in his own order. And of course, for years you have been singing songs that we have been singing. Christ may come in the morning, in the afternoon, or night, right? It's just a song. If Christ is coming, it would not be in the middle of the night. He will not come in darkness. That everything that is natural and touch and shadow we see, life springs out when the sun comes out. Butterfly comes out of their, the butterflies come out of their pupa or the cocoon, not in the middle of the night. It comes with the rising of the sun. Is it not true? That's what life is all about. You see. And what about the Bible book of Zechariah when Zechariah prophesied about, the Son of Righteousness come with healing in his wing. Right? And the gatehouse, the temple has to face the rising sun. Why? And why is he called the Son of Righteousness? Why is Jesus Christ not called the Moon of Righteousness? So he comes at night. All this love and shadow will tell us something. But no, everybody, as long as you are a Christian, to them is that, Lord, you are born again, and the word born again has a lot of definition. Right? American president, they are born again too. You'll be a better many of them are born again too. Lots of Christians go and say they are born again, and they go out there do the same old things in their sinful way, and that's not born again. Born again is a new life. It's not being religious, it's being spiritual and understanding what God wants of you. You see. Let us go to Galatians. Chapter 5. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And we are not entitled with the yoke of bondage, yeah? We are all free. Amen. We are free from what? Free from sin. Free from tradition. And we don't want to be caught up in the yoke bondage of a religious yoke. Go back to our simple way where the spirit is manipulating, the evil spirit in the world is manipulating us. You know, this five senses is terrible. That's why Eve succumbed to the seduction of the serpent. It's all about the five senses. That's why even in the paper, that's a lot of things that's going on in this world today. They are so terrible. The sins of the world, as Bible actually says, it's getting worse, more wicked. People are more evil, more sinful. Is that right? Yeah. Look at what happened out there in the Middle East, the burning of that Jordanian Pilate burned him alive like that. And then there's a thief of that, and here you have the Jordanian king. Start fighting back. And the prophecy is true concerning Ishmael. His soul will not only be against everybody, but against their own brother themselves. So brother fight among brothers. That's why we had a problem out there in the Arab, in the Middle East. And the king of Jordan says it's not about why he retaliated and started to hammer the ISIS. He says it's not about religion. It's not about religion. Then what? You know one thing? Let us be honest with ourselves. Every one of us here. When you see something bad happened. Let's say you are in the bus or in the train. And here you see somebody, big guy, bully somebody, somebody is younger, smaller, and start to raise his dirty words in the bus. There's a today's paper about the three Indian men that were arrested for, illegal possession, making a lot of drumming and all that. Police told them, and they start vulgarity and start to even attack the police. Man. And you know, when you sit down there, when I see things, and I feel very frustrated. I feel very angry. I feel like going up there and punch the fellow in the face. You know, this feeling that comes up because there is all this spirit that's working out in this world. You go up there to the train, and you see young people sitting in the train, sitting on the reserved seat, pretending to go to sleep. Not all, of course. And somebody just put on the phone, and here comes some elderly man coming in, walking, limping, or old folks. They ignore. They just sit there. There were times that I have to tell the man, he says, young man, to get up and give it to an older man or older woman. He was surprised to look at me. And I look at him, I said, that seat is not yours. What happened to courtesy? What happened to being unselfish? You know what makes my day? What makes your day? You, when you make somebody happy, right? When you do some kind act. But no! Many times people rush into the train looking for the seat. That's the first thing they do. And especially a young mother with a kid or two, 3, 4, 5 years maybe, looking for a seat. And ask quickly take. And then when the children sit down after a while, they don't want to sit, they want to stand. They want to prefer to stand and hold the pole. That's the thing about human. It's that carnality. We're all born with that fleshy senses in us to act unselfishness. Behold, I portion unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is adapted to do the whole law. That is, when you are religious, that Paul is talking about this to the Galatians. And who are these Galatians? They are Gentile believer in Paul's ministry and Paul's message. But Paul went around to other places to preach, and he heard what was going on. News reached him about what happened back there in Galatia. That now there is these things that is going on in the church, that the Gentiles are getting themselves circumcised. And what did Paul said? Who have bewitched you? Oh, you foolish Galatians. Who have bewitched you? Right? I don't know what the verse is. I think it should be chapter 3, verse, what is that? Oh yeah, verse, chapter 3, verse 1. Oh foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth before whose eye Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you. Who have bewitched you? What is it now that you start to believe in some preacher that came along and tell you that you need to be circumcised? And who are these preachers? They are those Pharisees or the religious ones who were Jews, and they feel that you need to keep the law of Moses. It's just like here in Singapore. Well, where did the doctrine come from? It did not start here. It did not start with the pastor out there, Judah Howard. It didn't start with him. It started from America. The rapture is over. The millennium is here. We don't need to have foot washing or communion. Because Jesus is here. The Philippi is here. Christ has come back. What is going on here now? Show me the scripture that the word that you teach it is scripture. We believe that Jesus is in the midst of us, right? Yes. Jesus is with me as I walk with him every day. Isn't it true? But the word that they are preaching, Jesus is here or he's returned back. He's listening and things like that. The seal's open. The token's given. He's here. Since he's here, we don't need any foot washing or communion at all. How terrible that really is. That religious spirit, that opinionated spirit. We need to understand the scripture. We just don't simply take one verse or take a quote or brother and start to have something beautiful about it. All right, let's continue. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Sure it isn't. Right? If you believe that the law justify you, you have fallen from grace. And this grace is no more yours. You've fallen from it because you have gone into what? Into the law. And that's why if you can be saved by Brother Branham's message, and you have everything that what Brother Branham said you are held to, without understanding it, just simply quoting because Brother Branham said so, then this Bible scripture is no longer yours. You have fallen from grace to understand this word. Because the Bible clearly very specifically tells us this, as Paul said. All scripture is given by inspiration. And Jesus Christ said, in the volume of the book it is written on me. In it you find eternal life. Isn't it not true? For what is it that died for you? Was it not the word of God being manifest in flesh? And that flesh was crucified on Calvary and blood was shed for you? Is it not? The Brother Abraham died for you. Brother Abraham, my absolute. Sure. If he is absolute, Christ cannot be yours absolute anymore. And you, foolish man or woman, have fallen from grace. Bear witness to me on this what I said. Because we have all this religious spirit in the world today that have forced people away from the truth. Motivate them, twist them, put them under bondage and drag them out of the truth that they supposed to live, supposed to possess. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avail anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. Faith worketh by love. Not by anything else. That's what Paul said in the other scripture we read earlier in Ephesians. Walk in love. Hard, isn't it? You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Now some of us has been around for, well, how many years now in this message? Well, we run. But what happened now? Many of us are not running well now. Guess we're dragging our food. You know, we have 2 feet. When I say we are dragging our foot, one foot is saying that yeah, I'm still in the truth, but the other one have a lot of problem. Opinions and whatever is holding on to the person, frustration, depressions. I mean, we all have frustration. We all have problems. And churches have problems. Which church do not have problems? Show me one church that have no problem. Yeah. Let me read something here. I decided to read it. Because the brother who wrote it to me said, share it with the church. I'm going to read it. Church-wise, still watching how recent matters pan out. Well, we have a lot of problems last year. Spiritually and physically exhausting. Watching all the fiasco going on in the church. I need a break from it all. Knowing myself. Else I'll react to all the adolescent, self-centered behaviors of senior churchgoer who should know better. The person who wrote this isn't old. I mean, this isn't young. It's not a teen. Personally, I'm easily exhausted from work and part-time studies. Very little personal time for weekend, current appointment, job scoop, spill into weekends. Thanks for checking up on me, though I'm still spiritually sane, though I quiet and away, I simply detest any form of spiritual politics. Such is my character. That's a man who said something like that. Prayer and thoughts with me, I have not left the church nor forsaken my faith. But yes, I am spiritually weary, but not beaten. You can share this with others. Each and every one of our behavior and action have a profound impact on others. I'm not blaming others for my state, but I hope others will realize if we are of one body in Christ, know this, there are repercussions for both our positive and negative behaviors. Anyone of us here doesn't know that there is always a repercussion, good or bad, regarding our behavior. I don't think you need to be told. Our churches are going through that. And I was just thinking about Moses. Moses, when he had to deal with how many people? They came out of Egypt. It is said about 2 million to 4 million people. Well, let's say 2 million are Jews. Put that 3 million. 1 million are mixed. They came out of Egypt and went over out there to first go to the promised land. But they didn't get there, and then they were out there in the desert. Day in, day out, Moses had to sit down there in front of his tent. And here were people coming, this one here, that family came, and that man came, the woman came in. Moses, blah, 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 blah. Moses, blah, 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 blah. And all this blame going on, complaining. Everybody have an opinion. And Moses was patient. They were that from morning till night, perhaps taking only a time off for a cup of tea, for lunch and dinner. Until his father-in-law came to him and said, you would die like this. The people would stretch you out. Go and elect elders for all the tribes and let them deal with it. The same thing on the day of Pentecost, the church started. And after some weeks, a month, I don't know how long, here what we have. There are a group of people that came and said, oh, body complaining about our elders are not being served and this and that. And now they want Apostle Peter to serve. What the apostles should do. And Peter says, no. Preaching is our work. It's our ministry. You go look among yourself, seven men of good report, and let them deal with it. No. I think this is the thing that we don't see here in our fellowship. And I believe that young men, young brothers, they are saying, yes, let me be of help to the church, be a deacon or something. Try very hard. Wow, what happened? And what Paul said in the book of Hebrew. You know, even in Corinthians, to the Corinthians, we should already be matured, yet still we are getting milk. We should be able to teach now. You see, the thing is that Moses cares for the people. He was a meek man. The Bible says he was a meek man. There was all this complaining, all these needs. You know what? Which church don't have a problem? You know, complaining does not, it's not a solution. I mean, I have been in ministries among you brothers and sisters a lot. And over the years, back in the 70s, when we started with seven of us, half of the seven of them disappeared. A new one came in. And after a year later, some of them laughed. A new one came in. God is dealing with people. That's what the Bible said. They left us because they are not of us. There are those who do not agree with my doctrine. That's fine. They can go anywhere they want to. People have the right to refuse to agree. They have every right. Now make sure your right to refuse the truth have a basis. Or your refusal to accept what I preach, if it's not true, you have a basis for leaving or rejecting. But if you are so opinionated over every little argument, and you have a problem. Because you see what? God is not true with me yet, neither is He true with you. He's still working on me. It's not over yet. If it is over, I will go. As for Brother John Mark, he's done finished his ministry. If God should have taken him home, God should have taken him home, He took him home. Of all places he had been, all these many years of his ministry, in the jungle, in the provinces, in other countries, nothing happened. But this last convention in Kenya, he came back with a bad infection and took his life. Was God trying to tell the people out there also that I'm going to take an apostle and I'm going to lead them you to look at yourself where you have been? And as Paul said, when I am departed, a grievous wolf will come. Are you able to stand? So unless we grow up with short and a spiritual understanding as to the things of God, we are going to be in big trouble. Not as for me, but individually. So we are talking about spirituality, we're not talking about being religious. Hope you understand that. You see, is this brother who sent this. He said the senior, the adolescent behavior of the senior churchgoer. So just because a senior churchgoer misbehaved somehow, that give you the right to say, I'm leaving. I'm just waiting to see what changes. You are not a solution. You are a problem. You know what I'm saying? You see, every one of us are different. Let me take, for example, Brother John Chiang. When he left the song, when he led the song singing, he doesn't stay behind the pulpit. He will stand here, right? Is that right? Yeah. Different one will have certain behavior. He's not an expert conductor. Every one of us leads song differently. So we all have different kind of character and our approach to certain things that we do. You know. And I can tell you one thing, there will be a lot of mistakes that we will still make. I don't know what mistake you will make. But I expect you not to make it on purpose or out of your frustration. Right? Or out of your presumption, or out of anything. You know, the same thing, how the incident, you see people fight on the roadside, or in the bus or in the train. Just because somebody is sitting there happened to turn there and look at something beyond that, the guy happened to be sitting there, he's looking at the person, he's thinking, he's staring at him. You know this thing happened? Go up there, say, why are you staring at me? I said, no, I'm not staring, I'm looking. No, you're staring at me! Why? He don't like, he thinks the people are staring, he doesn't like to be stared at. And the person said, no, I'm not staring at you, I'm sorry. I'm not staring at you. And he's still not what we call mkangwana. Cannot say, cannot accept that person and tell him the truth. He has all out to seek for a fight. What a way. That's the reason why the same thing. You know this Jonathan, the king, when he sent, this plan to bomb the ISIS in Syria, and he said it's not about religion. And it's not true. Even the Bible tells us, even as we know that Ishmaelites will fight among their own brothers, the Bible tells us that also there will be war within the church. James said that. War among yourself. As far as the apostle said, are you not carnal? And as I said, this one thing, the brother might will kill me, I can tell you that, because many times they try to do that, not literally. They pronounce curses on me, judgment on me. My, oh my. Because they are so religious, so spiritually religious. But they don't have a spiritual mind. Just something they open up what they think. All right. Let's go on. You deranda, verse 7. You deranda, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion come not of him that call you. Who hinder you to that you should not obey the truth? That why you are now getting religious, obeying the law and keep the law, circumcision, this and that? Have you not fallen the grace? Said, whoever persuades you certainly is not the one who calls you. It's certainly not the Lord Jesus who tells you. That's why we have a lot of people say, the Lord tell me, the Lord show me. Oh, my old past years, I have brothers like that, tell me that. You know, I'm just being a bit patient. You know, like I said, they tell me this, and some brothers say, you know, brother, it's not true, why don't you say something? You know what? You see, we try to have a little leeway to a person and let the Lord deal with that person for a while. If it is true, you will come to pass. If it's not true, something will happen. I remember just like this is all history anyway, but you know the problem that I had, or the brother had with me for America. And asking a brother, God, what is more important to you? Oneness in fellowship? Unity? Or the sin of Ham? He asked me that question because he doesn't believe in it. He said, what is more important to you? Unity or the sin of Ham? And I asked him, I said, brother, you answer that question yourself. Because he wanted to denounce the teaching that the sin of Ham was incest. And he told me later on, I said, brother, again, if you're going this way and teaching something that we hear in our fellowship and all these other churches, because he believed himself to be the chief, then he said, something is going to happen to you. He said, brother, we'll see. And after all these years, I said, I told him, I'm still being around. Nothing had happened to me. But I told him, brother, what you have done, you are going to cause disunity. Because unity is not based on one man's doctrine. Look, that's what the Brahma is doing. They base their unity on Abraham's book. But how many factions are there? Tell me. Are there unity? There are somewhat, set to say, like the churches today in the denomination. We are all one because we believe in the Bible. Right? Whether you are Catholic, whether you're Lutheran, Episcopalian, Orthodox Greek, or whether you're Baptist or whatever, as long as you hold the Bible, profess Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you're all in unity. But yet, is that true unity? Same thing with Abraham. The two souls, the thunder virtue group, huh? The polygamist group today. Unity is based on one thing. The common ground that we can all look at the Bible and learn to look at it and examine it. The little differences that we have, opinion, put it on one side. Don't worry about it. As Bob and I make a simple statement, if you believe that Jesus Christ is coming back on white horses or he's coming back on the cloud, we all believe he's coming back. His point is this. It just don't fight over this. The thing is, if we do need to understand, is on the timeline. How was Jesus Christ crucified? Oh, he was crucified like an axe. Oh, he was crucified with a tree, like this. You know, one tree trunk. Or was he crucified like this? You got three of you. You want to fight over that? You want to fight over that? How he died? But the Bible tells me that he died upon a tree. Oh, he made a tree without the branches there. Then you have, that means you don't understand what a tree is. Consider a man who died upon a tree. What is that tree? A tree is a piece of wood. Wood comes from a tree. He was hanging upon the tree. Whether you believe it this way, or this way, or this way, it doesn't matter. All it matters is, he died. People are so religious over a little thing like that. You know. Well, let's finish it. A little leaven leavened the whole lump. A little leaven. It could be a little opinion of doctrines. You know, the one point is saying that when you accept that circumcision must be that, you know what? The little leaven is going to come in. Next thing you say, you got to keep this, you got to keep this, you got to keep this. And Paul said, does law save you? If law save you, then grace is not there. You don't need grace anymore. And the little leaven, the law, leaven the whole lot, could be also look at the church. When somebody bring that in, opinion in, it's going to influence everybody. Is that alright? I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that trouble you should bear this judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross cease. I would they will even cut off which trouble you. But brethren, you see, he said, I would they were even cut off. But of course, Paul do not want them to be cut off. But if they are troubling, a troublemaker, they need to be put out of the church. You know. I mean, they are, for example, like, let's say, one or two of you maybe, they say, we believe that the Sabbath is on Saturday. That's alright. You can believe that if you want to. But if you start troubling people around the church, that's a different story. Right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you believe that, we should go vegetarian, go vegan. Fine, you want to go vegan, but don't force everybody else, especially Brother Henry who loves Wagyu beef, to go vegan. You don't. You know what I'm saying? Each do his own whatever you want to eat. But in everything, be moderate what you eat. Don't get yourself caught up in the problem with health. And lastly, verse 13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use that liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But by love, serve one another. Again, Paul is talking about love against serve one another. I remember back then when I think it was in the 70s, because I was married in 1974. And Zoya was born in 1976. And we were out there in the village, kampong there, Jalan Udaya, I still remember down there in the 6 miles of Bukit Timah. And you know, in the night, you know, you get all these people that come to me and tell me all that story about what we believers should do. As I told you, there are two New Zealanders that came to me and said, I must put on a beard. And they came with beard, actually. A young man, they had about 20 or late 20 or early 30. They have beard. You know, they look like Quaker to me. You know what I mean? They said, oh, my God, you should have a beard. I said, why? You know, there's a Bible, and everybody in the Bible, those men in the Bible, they have beard. I said, are you sure? I said, yeah. And they showed me that I should have a beard. It's a revelation for the game. You know. And all that stuff thing, you know. You see, that's an opinion. And then when we talk about certain things, then there's a man that came from New Zealand as well, talking about the claim about big preacher, you know, how this big preacher claimed to be this. But in the end, he was actually claiming that his pastor was actually Elijah. You know. And that's why I wrote the book, There's No Elijah. You see, we get all kinds of character. Do you remember, if you were to go back in ancient time, not ancient, not really ancient, but early American history. You know, there were Europeans that came from Europe, England, and ran over there to America, right? And what do they have in those days? They have horses and buggy and wagons, right? Yeah. So, over there, when they migrate over there, you know how the lady dressed well, dressed up, all colored up, and very decent, and they are the shakers and the armies, and when they pray, you know, sometimes they will shake, and when they dance and things like that, so... Well, they create a colony out there and an asylum, and you have this Amish out there in Pennsylvania, beautiful land, you know. The whole of them out there, and when you go out there in your car, you find that they're on the road riding the buggy, horses and buggy. They don't believe in having cars, because it's a things of the world, it's evil thinking. So they go on the buggy, and no electricity. What do they have? They have lamps. No television. Well, to many, even the anti-message is a one-eyed monster. No radio. So, everybody left alone. And one time I was in California, I was staying with this family. You know, and I noticed they don't have TV, nothing there. But they have magazine and the radio. And they asked me, "Brother, do you have a television?" I said, "Yeah." How can you have a television, brother? Graham said, "No, you shouldn't have a television. Blow it off your shotgun and throw out the window and blah, blah, blah." You know? And then they smiled, "Oh, yeah, you know." Then he said, I'm disappointed in you, Brother Graham. I'm disappointed in you. You know, what he used the word, I'm disappointed in you because you have a television. You know. And I said, "Brother, you know what? I'm also disappointed with you." He said, "Why?" "Because you have a big car." "I don't have a car. I have only a motorcycle. I'm really disappointed with you." Because in those days, those ministers, they don't have cars too. You know, back in those days, they go by horses and camel and donkey, you know, or they walk. "But I'm disappointed you have a car." And he smiled, he laughed. People have all sorts of things, you know. Yeah. And I know that back in the 70s, you hear all sorts of things about no television, this and that. But you know what? The moment internet came upon the scene, oh my, everybody needs an internet. Internet is also like a TV. You're watching at a monitor. You call it a monitor because you're monitoring it. When you watch a TV, you're not monitoring it. When you watch a TV, you're monitoring what's going on, right? It's just a word monitor. Huh? You want to monitor the weather, you want to monitor about the movie, you want to know about the news, blah, blah, blah. And now they say it's okay to have internet. Because why? They have website, internet, about anti-message. You see, the thing is that just because Brother said so, you cannot just simply take that quote. Brother said, "I don't believe in mixed marriage." Right? What does he mean? He don't believe in the black should marry the white. I understand his reason for that. That's why only in the first church here in Singapore, years ago, they were preaching so hard, and then some brother came up to me and said, "Brother Ken, what is your opinion?" So I said, "You want my opinion?" "Yeah, well, what do you think?" You know, let's just say, "What do you think?" I said, "What I think." I said, "Brother Bram's wrong." "Why? Why Brother Bram's wrong?" I said, "You know, the Bible said we all came from the three sons of Noah." "Yeah, but Brother Bram said, no mixed marriage." I said, "Every time I show you the scripture, but me. You want to butt me and be Brother Bram's co? Then you can take the opinion. Know why you want to ask me my view?" Huh? I said, "Bobham don't agree with it because there is always a problem. When a black married a white, instead of latte and black coffee, you have what you have? You have brown in between. Huh? You're no longer milk and black coffee, you know? White milk and black coffee. You have a child that is born in between. So people will make fun of that boy. Is that alright?" "Yes. People in this world are wicked." "Except not in this modern generation. At least it's less. But they are still in some other country. People are still against it." "Your father is a Negro. Your brother, your mother is a Chinese. What is that?" But because society are like that evil, and that is why the religious spirit, people are being kept in bondage by this. So don't be in that state. And I remember one time Brother Abraham said, "Education is of the devil." Have you heard that? Yeah, Brother Abraham said, "Education is of the devil." When I was in America, in Colorado, the family has a lot of children. Because you know what? If you get a child, you get a special support from the government, you know. And the children, they go to school. I said, "Your children go to school?" "Yeah, no. But again, because Brahman said the devil, education is of the devil. Education is of the devil." What did Brahman mean by it? What did he mean by it? What did he mean by education is of the devil? If you take education, your intellect, your PhD, your THD and everything, and overwrite God's word, and it's of the devil. That's not Paul said, "My education's what? Done." Remember, he was using his education, his theological mind, what he had understood under the system, the Phariseeism. And that's why those things are of the devil. So, but if you are, you study, go for education, you want to be a doctor, you want to be a scientist, want to be a clerk, whatever it is, don't tell me that's of the devil. You see how people are trapped in that thing. That is just one thing about the teaching. But there are more than just this when you talk about education. Or when you talk about religiousness. Last 2 weeks ago, I got a message from Philippine that the Pastor Ray has died, passed away. The one who taught about the angelic thing. And this email that came in and was saying, you know, about the family, the son, the wife, and some of the brothers in the church, believer, still are holding on to what he preached. And they feel that the son is now the one who's have the anointing, things like that. And some of them do not agree. You see, that religious spirit causes this problem. The pastor is not willing to look at the error. And I warned them. For years I preached. But sometimes, you know, the churches, the ministers get so puffed up, they wouldn't listen. Because why? They said, "I've got God's anointing. God told me this, God told me that." What a difference when you look at Brother Orson. And I warned him many times. Be careful what you look at the word, how you look at the word. Don't go around saying things that you regret. Because sometimes you put out a message, you find it hard to retract when you find it wrong. And especially when the message is so dynamic about some angelic thing, visitation, visions, whatever.
Yeah. So if people want to pick, like there are people that pick my writing. Here was a man 2 weeks ago who wrote me an email about tithing. He's not a message believer. He said, I read your article on tithing and I like it. But I disagree with you that Abraham was told, or that Abraham gave a tenth of all that he had, or all that comes into his hand. He said, Abraham only gave a tenth of the spoil to God. You see, he only talked about the tenth of the spoil. Very strange, you know. And then he said, he mentioned about tithing, because people talk about tithings are the people who look going after money. And that's the problem, because that is very true. You know, on one hand, I have read articles where people who disagree with tithing is, they said that, they even one message that I read, one article. The evil of tithing. That is true. As far when it comes under charismaticism, tithe, God will bless you. The more you give, the more the Lord bless you. Tithe. They give you an envelope. The churches, the Pentecostal churches that I came from, they are given an envelope. Your name is there. How much you pay an envelope, seal an envelope, put it there. So, 1 month you don't put, they come after you. You see, I told a man, we don't believe in paying tithes, we believe in giving. Abraham gave tithes. In the New Testament, you don't even hear about tithings. It is all about giving. Because why Paul said, and the Bible continued to tell us in the New Testament, it is pleasant to give than to receive. Why? Because we're not under the law to give, to pay tithes. We are under grace to give what the Lord put in our hand to give. Is that right? And some churches don't believe in preaching tithes because why? Like down in the Philippines. One time brother also told me, it's a very hard, brother Gun, to tell people about the truth about tithing. They think that I'm after their money, he said. He was working as a postman back then. I said, brother, you have to tell them about tithing. It's not about you. It's about the blessing that God put on tithing for the ministry. Got a point?
Yes.
You see? So, if tithing is not preached, the truth about tithing, not the evil of tithing, if it is not preached, then you don't have a blessing. And if, you know, I know the people who don't believe in tithing are usually preachers who are already rich. He's rich because his father or grandfather probably have a lot of properties and he lived without having to work. So he used to be a preacher. So the whole congregation don't have to give tithe because he paid for everything practically. You know what I'm saying? Sure. But the people come and come to the church and they don't have that. So what's the blessing for them? You see? That's what Paul talking about. Even the more that you have received of God, even in the Word, the more is required of you. Huh? Even when the more you understand the Word of God, the more is required of you. That's not compared to one who is 2 years old in the truth, and one who is 20 years in the truth, or 30 years in the truth. You still behave like an adolescent, a child, then it's a shame. Because a whole lot is required of us. That's what Paul said. Wake up! The time that you're matured, be men, be women as you should be. That's what? Yeah. Sometimes we find hard preaching like angels and believe like the devil. There are people that are religious but not spiritual. Let us read a few, two other verses and we'll close. 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. And I pray that we all do grow in grace.
And now let us look at Titus. Chapter 2. Verse 12. Verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, as we look for the coming of the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me give you a quote. C.S. Lewis. How do we overcome the darkness of the world? How do we overcome that religious spirit or that carnal religious spirit? He said this. C.S. Lewis, in the Chronicle of Narnia. To defeat the darkness out there, you must defeat the darkness within you. Is that true? To defeat the darkness out here in this world, out there in this world, you have to defeat the darkness within you. You can see what's going on. But what about yourself? You see, the problem does not start with others. It's about ourselves. Because God doesn't deal with the whole group. God doesn't deal with this church like that as a whole. God deals with you individually. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't have the mind just that this man who was talking about the tithing, he was arguing and then saying, besides the farmer, he asked him, tell me, who else tithe? Well, he only thinks the farmer tithes, you know. The people who keep sheep, keep goat, keep cows, they tithe. You see, that's the plan of God, to show as an example, as a need. That's why the Levite, they don't have any inheritance, they have no land, nothing. All the other tribes, they have lands. The Levites have no land. And God says, I am your inheritance. And all those other tribes have to collect a tent and give it to feed the Levite who ministered to God in the temple, in the tabernacle. So how is the ministry going to work? You see? It's based on what? It's based on the tithes, more than the tithes, as far as we are concerned over in the grace age. Isn't it true? Yes. Even Paul, he didn't even want to receive the tithe, he worked. Peter likewise, when he need fish, God has fish. He don't want to trouble the church. Brother Bible was still working. Remember, he was working when he started the church until the Lord says, away from your church, away from your work. You're going overseas. You're going to travel. And that's when he stopped work and concentrated on ministering the word of truth. So if we have carnality, we have a spirit of a carnal mind. If our mind is carnal, we are caught up in that opinion, in our feeling, our frustration. Yeah, we all have that. And religious opinion, this and that, and we start to, you know, come up with that. Whether it be teaching doctrine and whatever. Against someone, against this, then we are failing ourselves. You see, it's about us. It's not about the brother. It's not about that sister. It's about me. See? Look at the beam in your eyes. First. Before you ever look into the mote in the other person's eye. Look at that lock of tree right in front of your eyes. Before you can ever find another straw in that brother's or sister's eye. But the problem is the Lord is always before us and we fail to see. And we always see the little problem, little something in the brother or sister, and we start to. May God help us all. Remember this. God is not true with me yet. He's not true with you yet. When He's true with you, then you will know. You either go one way or another. So until we are here, as long as we are here, let us, as Paul said, walk in love, love one another, greet one another with Christian love, and truly, truly express the love within you. Don't look at your frustration. Don't look at your pain. The more you look at it, the bigger it gets. I can tell you that. The more you look at it, the bigger it gets. There were times when I'm frustrated. And because I draw on it, it's so painful. In my room, I just go down and say, Lord, take that away. And I cast my eyes upon Him, and things will look different. You realize the folly of a brother, the folly of a sister, the weakness of a brother, the weakness of a sister. That we are all human. And this journey is about a people of God. Going on the same journey, loving one another, helping one another. As the song said, if you see a brother or a sister falling by the way, right, what do you do? Say, brother, sister, you're going the wrong way. And be expected to get a feedback when you tell a brother, sister, you're going the wrong way. My own business! You get fed up with you and you shout. You'll be taken aback. It's okay. You see? Some people raise their voice. They think that the louder your voice is, then you win the battle. Huh? You want to have a voice contest? How loud you can raise? Wait till you hear the roar of the Lion of Judah. And then your leg, your buckle. Because when God's wrath comes up, things will change. Amen? But we don't want the wrath of God. We want His love to make us humble. And the Lord bless you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask of your grace, Lord, continue to always, O Father, deal with us. We know you're not true with us. There's so much fear in life, Lord. And we get frustrated. There's so much pain. And when we pain, oh Lord, we look at problem. And when we look at problem, oh Lord, it gets bigger and bigger and more things are added to it. Lots of things are heaped upon it, oh Lord. They are so negative. Truly, Lord, our life that we live is either for good or for bad. Either a blessing or a curse. But Lord, no one is perfect. This church is not perfect. I'm not perfect. And in this ministry, Father, Lord, it takes understanding. And sometimes, Father, there's a lot of pain and frustration, O Lord. But Lord, we understand that you still love us and care for us, Lord. And you're always there to lift us up when our spirit is cast down. Yes, Lord. So, Father, we pray that you speak to each individual. The Lord, in our spiritual life, as a son and the daughters of the living God, being born again with the Spirit of Christ, then Lord, that we should be spiritual man and woman. To be able to understand the Word of God, look at it, and handle it well, how we should live it, Father, our life. For as our Lord and Savior Jesus came, He said He came not to break the word, not to break the law, but to fulfill it. And we thank you, Lord, for this truth. And we ask of you, Lord, even as Christ lived the word of God, Father, that we too will follow His footsteps and live the word that He has given us to, Father. Forgive us all our weaknesses. And forgive us, O Lord, our failure. And we know, Lord, you've already done that to forgive us because of what Christ has done for us. Amen. You'll cleanse us by your word. May we each and every day, Lord, get close to you. And let your word wash us, Father, and cleanse us from all sins. And help us to love, really love one another. We ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.